Hey everybody, this is Justin. You might notice some slight audio hiccups during this episode. I made what could only be classified as a pretty major boner when I started a recording, and M has worked valiantly to correct that error, but there are a few little, you might just notice a few little places. Hopefully, I think it's the imperfections that make something really special. So hopefully you feel that same way too. And hopefully it won't be too distracting. I don't think it is, but in case you noticed, I just didn't want you to think that you were imagining it or we didn't notice it or anything. And there's a little hiccup from moment to moment here and there, but hopefully you'll still get your required relaxation from this episode. And we'll be back with you again soon. Thanks. Lest we forget, spring is here. The new buds began to bloom on the vines and leaves. I'm not a garden person. I'm a cereal person. My name is Justin McElroy, and I am a cereal enthusiast.
And I'm Dan Goubert, and I'm a cereal caretaker of sorts. In these cereal gardens of ours, I like to shape every bowl into a nice topiary garden depicting various mascots and animals.
Dan, you could say, is sort of in the secret garden of cereal. He's the Dickon that's leading us through, telling us what things are with. Welcome to The Empty Bowl. It's a meditative podcast about cereal. No matter the condition of the world around you when you are listening to this, we would ask or perhaps invite you, because it is your call, to just relax for 20 to 30 minutes and give yourself permission to think of nothing but cereal.
And maybe Pop-Tarts.
And maybe also Pop-Tarts. I hope that will not upset the waves too much. Let's begin. Things are, I as one might assume, perhaps a little slow in terms of like new products hitting the shelves and what have you. We've still got news coming down the proverbial pipeline.
So first things first, and probably most exciting to me at least, would be a new addition to the Lucky Charms multiverse of flavors. Mm. So if you follow Lucky Charms news religiously, as you probably should, you would surmise that, for the most part, new announcements in this family of cereals generally tend to surround new marshmallow shapes.
Yes.
Which, while aesthetically appealing, tend to not impact the flavor in any sense, which is fine. I mean, Lucky Charms doesn't always need improving. But... after the last year's introduction of Fruity Lucky Charms, which was kind of an abysmal bomb in my perspective, we are getting another new flavor for 2020, and that is Lucky Charms with honey clovers.
These look good.
Yeah, I think so as well, and that's mainly due to one word on the box, and it's not honey, it's oat. So the problem with chocolate Lucky Charms and fruity Lucky Charms alike is that they switch to corn flour for those, and I don't know why. I can't possibly conceive why you would take the bread and butter of Lucky Charms cereal and replace it with a sort of hollow serrated substitute, but maybe they heard our complaints because oat is returning for Lucky Charms with honey clovers, and I believe that since we're already talking about the makers of Honey Nut Cheerios, they can probably do no wrong here.
Yeah, it's interesting that corn certainly has its place, but it is cheaper, as I understand it, than oat. So a lot of people defaulting to corn when they're launching new products.
Yeah, I would say corn has its place in cereals that claim to be corn forward, like the Quaker corn squares, which I very much love.
Or corn flakes.
Yeah, corn flakes.
Is a corn pop? Dan, I have a question for you. Is a corn pop? Is a single corn pop one kernel of corn that has been puffed up to a large degree? Is that accurate?
I don't know for sure. I personally, my headcanon is that they take a popped piece of popcorn and sort of industrially turn it inside out. That seems to make the most sense to me in terms of the aerated insides compared to the buttery outsides.
Yeah, we'll have to do a little research and look into that. That looks good though. I'd like to try that. What else is headed our way?
So this announcement came to me largely out of nowhere, but it is Kellogg's Jumbo Snacks. And let me articulate that even on this very chill podcast, I can't say it as it is branded because Jumbo Snacks is all in capital letters.
Yeah.
I will not yell them to you, but you can imagine in your head that the main excitement here is supposed to be that this is a snackable cereal. Yeah, as opposed to normal cereal.
Thrill it will be to shove my hand into a box and take a handful of dry cereal out and shove it into my maw at all hours of the day. What a novel treat.
Well, don't hope too hard because there's no boxes involved here.
Oh, no.
These are just pouches. They have a smaller size that is not resealable as well as a larger one that is. But they are launching these Kellogg's Jumbo Snacks, I guess as a way to like address the fact that so many people eat breakfast on the go.
Yeah.
But they've taken four of their iconic cereal brands and blown them up to larger sizes to, I guess, make them, I don't know. I don't know the right word for it, but it's Apple Jacks, Frosted Flakes, Corn Pops, and Fruit Loops.
They remind me kind of I know we've talked on the show about Fingos.
Yeah.
Before, which were these bizarre, like very large pieces of cereal that were designed for snacking.
Mm-hmm. It strikes me as something that's a better set piece for like an action figure diorama than anything.
Yeah.
But what's interesting though is you look at these four flavors, and for the most part, they do some things a little bit different. So the Fruit Loops one is the most straightforward. There doesn't seem to be any change to the classic formulation of Fruit Loops. But Apple Jacks, at least from the package photo that I have, is only including orange rings this time around, which I guess when you consider the overall flavor profile of Apple Jacks, it's always been a bit of a mystery because historically speaking, there weren't actually apple ingredients in it. And I don't know why they named it Apple Jacks when it really just tasted like cinnamon, but in recent years, they've brought apple actually back into the mix. So I'm uncertain whether this Jumbo Snacks version will focus mainly on cinnamon or if it will just be one less color. But we move on to the Frosted Flakes version, and Kellogg's very wisely decided not to include like corn chip-sized Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, nobody wants a big flake.
They instead are giving us tiger paws, so If you've had Cheetos paws before, specifically the skeleton variety, the white cheddar that they release around Oktobertide, it looks a lot like those, and I can only imagine they just taste like puffed sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, they do actually some sweet Cheetos now, too.
Sweetos.
Sweetos, yeah.
Did you ever have the Sweetos slushy drink?
No, what?
Yeah, it was like a cinnamon Slurpee type, not officially Slurpee, but it was Sweetos branded, and it was purple, and it was not very good, but...
That sounds rough. That sounds...
Yeah, yeah, it was a hit. It was a hit and a miss, but I think the most interesting part of this Jumbo Snacks quartet is the Corn Pops inclusion, actually, because these aren't any ordinary Corn Pops. These are Caramel Crunch Corn Pops.
That's interesting. I wonder why the pivot there.
It's particularly interesting because Corn Pops is a cereal that does not very often get limited edition varieties. The last one that we saw was very much a rarity in itself, and that was Chocolate Peanut Butter Corn Pops, which even that was just a recreation of an older formulation. So the fact that they're deciding to debut Caramel Corn Pops, which should really be a no-brainer in this obscure Jumbo Snacks format, just really feels like a Betamax exclusive movie release or something.
You know, I will say though, I think sometimes when you eat Corn Pops dry, there is a little bit of like an unpleasant, I don't want to say like, I'm tempted to say like metallic or bitterness, but like that's probably going too far, but there's a slight unpleasant note, I think, if you're eating it dry versus like having the milk to balance things out. So maybe this is a recognition of that.
Now, this is only tangential, but have you had Canadian Corn Pops before?
No, I don't think so.
They are vastly different than the American version. These are actually just puffed spheres like you would find in a Reese's Puff or otherwise, but they are jumbo-sized in themselves. And I think it's an exciting contrast to American Corn Pops, and that it delivers a lot of the same flavor without that weird chew to it.
I like the chew. I'm on record as being a fan of the chew. Some evolutions also in the world of Pop-Tarts, which we do dip into from time to time.
So we can get the less interesting one out of the way already. The SpongeBob Sponge on the Run Sea Berry Pop-Tarts.
Which almost certainly will be a Pop-Tart tied to a film, which will not arrive at the same time as the film arrives in theaters. Almost certainly.
So what frustrates me here is that Seaberry, instead of being anything even adjacent to SpongeBob, whether that's pineapple or, you know, kelp or anything, it's just raspberry.
It's just the spiderberry again, right?
Exactly, exactly. So we have to infer that spiderberries and seaberries are in the same sort of genus, and therefore we should expect a crossover between SpongeBob and Spider-Man.
I'm seeing some extremely lazy packaging too. Not to turn this podcast too negative, but I'm seeing that same sort of screen printed effect that they use for the Fruit Loops in Spider-Man, but it's just like a picture of a pineapple and a plus sign and a tie and a plus sign and a spatula and that's it. And that's kind of like, that's, I don't know, SpongeBob. It's a SpongeBob Pop-Tart.
The box says the premise is that it's a who's who in Bikini Bottom. So I have to imagine each is a very crude equation for understanding your favorite SpongeBob characters.
I feel like he's yellow and rectangular. He is the same shape as this food. You couldn't do... really? This is the best we have?
Oh, man. Well, luckily, that's not the only new Pop-Tart that's coming, because we also have Chocolatey Churro Pop-Tarts coming, which is a very novel integration of both chocolate and cinnamon, which we've seen sporadically in the cereal aisle lately, what with the return of Chocolate Toast Crunch as well as Cinnamon Crunch Crave. Chocolate and cinnamon seem to be having a moment. I have to imagine it's because Kellogg's and other cereal manufacturers have run out of ways to combine the same old flavors that they have on hand at any given time. But I'm excited for this one nonetheless, just because we saw in the chocolate pretzel Pop-Tarts that you can really mess with that formula and just have that consistent milk chocolatey goodness to supplement something new and innovative.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love a darker chocolate. We probably won't get that. It's not really traditional with the churros, but I'm always pining for darker chocolate. Hey, speaking of, you know, churros are a sort of classic Mexican snack. What we got coming up from Mexico? Maybe, hopefully, maybe, possibly. Mexico gets some better cereals. It's not fair. I pine for their tropical Fruit Loops still.
Mm-hmm. So I've got multiple reports this past couple of weeks that Waffle Crisp has been spotted hiding out in Mexico, which is very exciting because, as listeners of this podcast know, Waffle Crisp is a cereal very, very dear to me that was, you know, very inexplicably discontinued a year back. But we saw that a lot of cereals like to stow away in Mexico when their time has come up in the States, because Mexico was selling fruit-shaped tricks all throughout their hiatus period before they came back stateside. So I'm wondering if this is sort of an experimental re-debut of Waffle Crisp to see if it can, you know, creep back into the national spotlight and we can all enjoy its unlimited goodness once more.
Well, I certainly hope so, because I know, mainly because I know how much that would delight you. I'd love to see them make a comeback. Again, we talked about a little slow on the new releases currently, but we did try some new stuff. I would love to regale you of tales of the IHOP cereal pancakes.
Please, please. I wasn't able to get them yet.
Right, so I did, because I'm a good citizen, and also because all the restaurants are, the dining rooms are closed, I did a carryout of IHOP, still open for carryout business. And let me tell you what I received. I ordered the, I wanted to try all three varieties. So I got the, if you don't know what we're talking about, IHOP did some, well, what would you call it? Cereal co-branding, some co-branded cereal stacks at IHOP. So you have a Crunchberry stack, Cinnamon Toast Crunch stack, and a Lucky Charms stack.
Fruity Lucky Charms, specifically.
So this is weird, right? They're advertised as Lucky Charms, but they do use the Fruity Lucky Charms in them. But which I get, because they're really going for, like, over the top. So I received, I was a little bit disheartened, I will say. I did not, because of a carryout, I got sort of all the fixins in separate little plastic ramekins. And they did include Fruity Lucky Charms with the Crunchberry pancakes instead of Crunchberries. And that was a heartbreaker. Now, of course, I had a box of Crunchberries on hand. Don't be ridiculous. but I was a little bummed out by that. That said, the components that set these apart, obviously you got some cereal sprinkles on the top. That's great. There's also a layer of, in the Fruity Lucky Charms is like a purple whipped cream. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is a classic whipped cream. And there's also these layers of, I think they called it cereal milk custard.
Mousse, I believe what it was.
Mousse, yes, a cereal milk mousse, which I gotta say, pretty good.
Now, did this whipped cream and mousse come in separate containers from the actual pancakes?
Mousse was interlaced in the pancake. Whipped cream was separate. Also separate with the, there was like a drizzle layer, like a drizzle component. The crunch berries have this. We talked about it last time, but this wild blue, the bluest blue, Dan. It's just the bluest blue syrup I've ever seen. It delighted my children. It was, it seemed an abomination. You should not eat this. It looks like
drink. Kids love abominations.
Kids love abominations. That's true. But they got a big kick out of it. Overall, I would say this. I wish the cereal flavors were more integrated. Like there was something like some crunch berries in the mix, you know, in the pancakes themselves. Of course, they're mass producing a ton of pancakes. I don't have that. The cereal milk mousse, very good. Actually did capture sort of a cereal milk flavor deeply into. Would love that on everything that I eat from now on. The Cinnamon Toast Crunch was probably the best overall eating experience, just because Cinnamon Toast Crunch is, you know, top three all-time cereals, and it is the cinnamon syrup they have in between the different stacks is delicious, and the cinnamon itself is like a nice balance, I would say, to the where like your Fruity Lucky Charms are just sweet on sweet, you know, same with Crunch Berries. So they were a little bit more pleasant to eat. If you're going to try only one, I would say Cinnamon Toast Crunch, just because even though that pairing, I mean, I think they've even had like churros stacks at IHOP, which were fundamentally the same idea as these. The presence of sprinkling Cinnamon Toast Crunch on anything makes it better and more delicious. So I would try that. But I would like deeper integration, but overall, it's a fun idea.
Maybe they'll add an option to order the cereal mousse a la carte, and you can just sort of integrate that into your day-to-day life or take shots at periods of the day.
I would like a cart of it, actually. If they would sell it by the cart, that would be great. What about you? Did you try anything new in this past couple weeks, Dan?
So the things that I tried were a little bit less exciting and more a variant on the same theme. It's Peeps-related objects. I was mailed a whole bunch of them by not Kellogg's itself, who manufactured the Peeps cereal, but by Peeps itself. To receive a package from Peeps seems to be a great honor in itself. But they sent
me... And I got this box too, Dan. So I was very... This is one of the first boxes I've ever gotten also. Ooh. So I was beyond thrilled.
I'm not going to lie to you. They addressed the email to me with your name, so I just kind of added my own address in as well as yours in hopes that they would send it to both of us, so I'm really glad that it worked.
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
But they included, first of all, Fruit Loops Peeps Pops, the most fun thing to say in the entire world. And I guess if we can talk about those first. You did try them, right?
Yeah.
So, like, first of all, how are you supposed to eat these?
It's kind of like eating a kebab, I guess. You would say you just kind of like grab it with your teeth and slide it off.
So I assumed that you were supposed to just, you know, sort of pull them off the stick first, and it was a nasty sight to try and rip these suckers off of there. I think a little bit of Peeps granulated glaze got under my thumbnail that might still be there, but I don't know. I wasn't even terribly thrilled with the taste of Fruit Loops Peeps Pops. Just because the Fruit Loops sensation, while very familiar, was like agonizingly vague. Like I wanted to reach out and grab it and bring it closer to my taste buds, but it was just hiding behind this very, very broad blanket of sugar.
Yeah, it's not. We actually have had the Fruit Loops flavor integrated into a lot of things lately. It's like a specific note.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that note is a little bit overwhelmed by the
Peeps meat.
Yeah, there's the flesh of the peep. But it looks great, much like I would liken it to the Fruit Loops donuts that Carl's Jr. or
yeah.
You know, it's like the aesthetics of it. It are tough to beat.
Maybe they're meant to be purely decorative, and we've been doing this all wrong.
Perhaps.
But they also sent, along with those, a bonus package of pancakes and syrup peeps, which these are not necessarily new to 2020. I believe they came out in 2018, but this was the first that I tried of them. And I think the flavor here works a lot better than the Fruit Loops. It's a lot more immersed in every single granule of peep.
The shape of the peeps, I have to say, is precious. This year, the big addition is they brought back, or not brought back, but, you know, brought into the cereal the bunny shapes from the peeps marshmallow, bunny and chick shapes. And they're so tiny, but they are still very, it's just nice. This is going to sound silly, but it's nice to see Marbits that a lot of care went into. After mm-hmm. we've seen so many really lazy Marbits, these are like, very delicately shaped tiny bunnies, and it makes you feel like a giant, and it is a delight.
So I think we're getting lost in sort of a peep apocalypse right here, but a final note on the pancakes and syrup ones was that it reminded me a lot of what I'd imagine a fluffy Japanese thick pancake to be like, If you've seen those in photos that have never made them, but it was very much like what I'd imagine an anime pancake to taste like. I don't have a lot to say about the Peeps cereal in itself, just because it was one of many, when it was first introduced, in a line of Kellogg's Sugar Ring cereals that did nothing to differentiate itself from the last. So between Sea Berries and Spider Berries and Peeps and Lucio O's and all the vanilla sugar granulated nonsense, it all starts to blend together that way.
Yeah. There's a lot of Peeps products out there, but I am still a fan. I think it's a pleasing combo. And again, the Marbles are just adorable. Anything else? I'm trying to think if I had any new cereals this recently, but no, I stuck to I'll tell you what I retried that I hadn't had in a while was Fruity Pebbles with marshmallows.
Mmm.
That might be the sweetest cereal.
Oh, it has to be.
It is intense. I mean, you really gotta like strap yourself in and like really hold on for the ride of your life, because that is overpowering.
Yeah, you could carve a molar out with those things.
any comfort classics you've been returning to recently?
So I have a newfound appreciation for Almond Honey Bunches of Oats. I grew up in a very pro Honey Bunches household, but the only ones that we would reliably have on hand would be the original Honey Roasted and Cinnamon. So when I finally set out to try the almond version, I was kind of disappointed because the sweetness is a little bit dulled there by the nuttiness. But now that I've grown as a person, both physically and psychologically, I think this is a really, really comforting cereal because it manages to do honey and nut in an entirely different vein than Honey Nut Cheerios in itself. It's subtle and it grows on you. This isn't as sweet as every other Honey Bunches cereal, but there's just something, you know, barely tangible there, almost like an ethereal membrane over the entire cereal that's just grabs your stomach and sort of caresses it to sleep after you eat the bowl.
It's a really nice combo, the Honey Bunches of Oats. It doesn't get enough credit. The flake and sort of granola cluster combo is very good.
Really. With the sort of exception of the latest Frosted Honey Bunches, which felt pretty unnecessary, I don't think they've had a bad flavor. Like, every innovation that they try, from chocolate to banana to maple pecan, it just blows it out of the water. So I would love to see 2020 be the year of Honey Bunches.
Here we go, Honey Bunches. This is your time. not expressly related to Honey Bunches of Oats, as all our episodes will be in this 2020, the year of Honey Bunches of Oats.
The empty bunch.
We asked you about what cookie you thought would make the best cereal, and you sent us your responses. So let's hear some of those now.
Hello, Justin. Hello, Dan. This is Lauren from Cincinnati, and I would like to see pecan sandies become a cereal. I don't see a lot of pecans in the cereal aisle, and I think it would be a nice change. Thank you so much for your wonderful podcast.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Imogen from the Gold Coast, Australia. And if I could have any cookie as a cereal, it would be an Anzac biscuit. Anzac biscuits are these really iconic Australian and New Zealand biscuits that are made from oats and desiccated coconut and maple syrup, and they're the perfect mix of chew and crunch and texture. So I think they would make a really great cereal. However, Anzac biscuits are actually legally protected, and the definition of an Anzac biscuit is really strict. So unfortunately, I don't think you could actually have an Anzac biscuit cereal. But we can dream. Thanks, guys.
Hello, Justin and Dan. My name is Emma Carter, and I am calling from Kansas City, Missouri. I would love to see a cereal made up of circus animal cookies, specifically the kind with the pink and white icing and rainbow sprinkles. I used to eat those when I was little, and I believe it would make for a delightful cereal experience. Thank you.
You know, it's sad that we did have something akin to the Animal Cookies cereal until too long ago.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Pink donuts.
Exactly.
Pink donuts.
I had to single that one out because that would probably be my go-to answer as well.
But, yeah.
The more I think about this question, the more I'm inspired by a couple other answers that we got, because I did hear them all out. But white chocolate macadamia as a cereal would be very, very exciting, in my opinion, because I think that opens up a whole new universe of potential for Clif Bar cereals, because that's what it immediately makes me think of. I think Clif Bars in themselves, if you diced them up into tiny little bits, would make a fantastic cereal, especially the oatmeal raisin walnut as well.
Do you have any other questions that are on your mind?
You know, I think I want to jump off of what we were just talking about earlier. Is there a cereal that you've rediscovered, in a sense, that you tried it a long time ago and formed a certain opinion on it and didn't eat it for a while, and now that you have changed and evolved as a human being, you might see it in a different light altogether?
Second chances.
Is there such a cereal?
Second chances. So important. Dan, I don't want to wait any longer. I want to hear about Presto Pizza.
Oh my God, this has turned my whole world upside down. So this is where we really get to the outer reaches of cereal tangential content, because not only are we talking about a Pop-Tart, but we're talking about something that's very, very vaguely even a Pop-Tart. So I was alerted on Twitter, it's from Bill Oakley on Twitter, that in 1971, Kellogg's made a Pop-Tart-style pizza called Presto Pizza, and these are tiny little pastries that look exactly like Pop-Tarts, but they are sausage-flavored, and they contain all kinds of vegetable-esque ingredients that are meant to be... you can imagine that these are not... It explicitly states that you don't need to refrigerate your Presto Pizza pastries, so I can't imagine what actually goes into these, but the idea that you could just eat pizza in Pop-Tart form is something that I'm very upset does not exist in the 21st century.
No, yeah.
Not to mention that the branding looks absolutely fantastic. It's studded with reds and greens. We'll have to post it on Twitter again just to get the whole picture out there. I'm calling this sort of a cereal myth in some sense, that I had no idea that this existed. It might be one of those things that exists in a very, very niche pocket of memory held by very few. But
when I was looking for pictures of these, I found some other like toaster style treats that, I mean, I guess this used to be a broader subcategory. Kellogg's had two different Danish options, like Danish rings and Danish go-rounds, they were called.
So I was just about to talk about those, because I was doing research into that as well. But in the late 60s, early 70s, Danish go-rounds came out in three flavors. It is brown sugar, cinnamon, strawberry, and cinnamon raisin. And these things are just like so strange to look at. They almost look like optical illusions in sort of the optimistic sense. If you were looking at them a little bit differently, you could see them as maybe coiled dog droppings. But I was curious why Kellogg's both had the Danish go-rounds that looked this specific way and the Danish rings that came out shortly after. And it turns out that they were having such structural problems with the Danish go-rounds that they had to make them into this ringular shape, if you will, and people hated it, so they had to discontinue it all entirely. So it's very, very unfortunate that Pop-Tarts was the only sort of toastered item that has survived Kellogg's long history of existence. I don't know if you've ever... This is sort of related, but do you follow Pop-Tarts Box on Instagram?
I don't know.
So this is an account that has been going for a while now, where this fellow has the most complete collection of Pop-Tarts boxes that I've ever seen. He has every single one and then some. He's gone on to post all kinds of random you know, toaster-related objects like these Danish go-rounds or Presto pizzas. So if you are on Instagram, I would highly recommend that follow. He has pictures of the very first debut of Wildberry Pop-Tarts. He has documentation that both Little Debbie and Hostess tried Pop-Tarts imitations in the past.
Wow.
This is just a very good historical account on Instagram that I'd recommend you follow, at Pop-Tarts Box.
Well, folks, thank you so much for listening and making a little time to hang out with Dan and I. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. If you want to send us an email, I want to talk about contacting us this time, because I feel like we don't talk about these enough. So if you want to send us an email, it's mail@bowl.rest. Bowl.rest is our website. You can go there to listen to episodes. You can also go there to, if you want to donate to the show, you can go there and pledge, I think, $1 a month or $9.99 a month, anywhere between those. And we sure appreciate that. Half of that goes to keep Seriously.net running, and half goes to a food shelter here in Huntington, West Virginia. We have a Twitter account. It's at Empty Bowl Show. If you want to follow us there, or you can also visit Seriously and Stan's website at Seriously.net, or just go to Seriously.net. You guessed it.
Yeah, we'd also like to thank, as always, Chris Zabriskie for the opening theme, The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, as well as Emily Loper for both editing our show. And something I should plug again is these wonderful t-shirts she designed that you can find through the McElroy Extended merch store.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you all so much for listening. As I said, we appreciate you, and be sure to join us again next time for the Empty Bowl. Until then, for Dan Gubert, I'm Justin McElroy, and as always, don't forget to drink.
To drink.
Hit it, Dan.
The milk.
That's too much pressure. I realized I was pressuring you. I'm sorry.